You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So I don't know if you can remember back to last week, because they kind of split up between the end of chapter 5 and beginning of chapter 6. They wouldn't have been written that way originally. So sometimes the Bible seems to break these things up in an odd way. But we were talking about that chiasm. I love it when I find new words. This chiasm, this concentric structure or a ring structure, which basically says when we look at the passage, sometimes when we read things, we read the beginning, it's got a middle, and it's got the end, and by the time we've got to the end, we're either happy with ourselves because we knew what was going to happen in the plot or not. Well, the way that the chapter was structured last time was there was a meat in the middle. We had verse 27 through to 33, and in there, verse 27 was the meat of the passage. And the meat of the passage was, we need to glorify God. And once we understand what that central point is, in verse 21 it said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And by doing that, we are able to glorify God. That was the whole point of the passage, that whatever we do, we glorify God. And one of the parts in the passage last time that really challenged me, and it really seemed to jump out, I was preparing, it asked, are we at peace and rest? Are you at peace and rest? And I don't know if you can remember back, I said, or are you like that, like Paul before his conversion, where we're kicking off at everything in the world that's not right. Let me put this stuff right. Demanding that others come in line with our thinking. We are angry people and not at peace with the world. You see, a submissive person isn't fighting for their rights. They're not demanding equality. A submissive person trusts God to meet all of their needs. They don't have anything to prove. I wonder, are you in that place where you go, actually, you know what? I haven't got anything left to prove. I trust God in all things. Now, I don't want to embarrass anybody here, but someone shared with me during the week as they were coming into church last week, they were trying to park their car, and some angry young lady decided to give them a ticket off. And that attitude towards one of our church members here was really disgraceful. And actually, the world comes along, and rather than seeing someone that might need help or might need a hand, no, they want to step up and they want to squash that person and stamp them down so that they could be nice and strong. Yeah, you get yourself into church and pray. That's the stuff that was said. Disgusting attitude. Where is our world gone where we want to squash one another rather than help one another? You know, I bet she felt very proud of herself. You know, I went back and tore this person off a strip or two today. Come on, that's not the kind of attitude that we should have. Are you angry with the world, trying to put things right? Or are you at peace? Are you at rest? And it brings us through to our passage this morning, right at the beginning here in chapter 6. The first part says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, I don't know if you remember following on from last week, which was looking at that submissive nature. Part of that, we said, had to be part of a spirit-filled life. It's pretty tough, isn't it, trying to do this in our own strength? But actually, with God's Spirit within us, within each other, within our marriages, we move on to something that's a little bit more personal to us. Those relationships, maybe with our parents, and in the modern context, slaves and masters, it obviously be our employers, and we are employees. As we read last time, once those that get married are no longer children, they no longer come under that rule of the parents. It's that back in your Bibles, Ephesians 5:31. However, there should be an ongoing and special respect for our parents. And I know for some that's going to be tough this morning. So let's roll with it and see what the Bible has to say. So right at the beginning of our passage there, second word in, obey. And obey can be unpicked in a number of ways. We saw submit last week, that carry out, that command instruction. But I found a description in the Holman's Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Nice, handy, catchy title there. And it says this, a biblical definition of obedience is to hear God's words and act accordingly. Do you get that? To hear God's word and act accordingly. Maybe that wraps some context around that question that was in your mind a minute ago. Yeah, well, my parents are not believers. Or if you see my parents, you would know why I'm not in that place. But hang on, in that context, to hear God's word and act accordingly in that situation, I believe we can still submit, we can still obey, as long as it is in line with God's word. We need to know what the Bible says, don't we? So parents submit to Christ, children submit to their parents, so in effect they are actually submitting to God. The child's spiritual act of obedience in the Lord, therefore, is limited by what the parents ask of them, because obviously they need to do that within the context of what the scriptures say. This is the fifth commandment in the Bible, in the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy 5:16. But also our passage goes on to say it's the right thing to do as well. Now, there was actually something in the news yesterday, and I meant to capture it, and I can't remember what it was now, but there was a news headline yesterday, and they said, this isn't just lawful, but it's also the right thing to do. Okay? It's the right thing to do. Jesus was obedient to his parents, wasn't he? Remember that story when he was just 12 years old? Stayed behind at the temple after Passover. His parents had left about a day into their journey, thinking, well, Jesus must be with somebody. Is he not with you? 3 days later, eventually, they came back to the temple and found him there in the temple courts. And Luke 2 gives us a lovely description of what the parents said. I wonder if this will be you. 3 days looking for your child. Where's he gone? Oh, where's he gone? When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Is that what you would have said? Yeah. Isn't it interesting, wasn't it? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Yeah, in a word, you know, is that lovely? But what did Jesus do? In Luke 2, you can look it up yourselves, Luke 2, verse 51, then he, Jesus, went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. You see, Jesus was obedient to his parents. So being obedient isn't a bad thing. I think we get that word obey, don't we, sometimes? And we go, I'm not sure I can do that. Jesus, Son of God, creator of the universe, King of kings, was subject to Mary and Joseph, a carpenter and his wife. Does that put some context into your parents? We're told to honour our parents, aren't we? And you might say, you don't know my parents. But if God says he will do something, we need to be assured he will do it. A part of this Life Explore course that was mentioned earlier, these have been absolutely fantastic. And if you're able to come on Wednesday after coffee morning, we saw this last week that God made a promise to Abraham. God said he would do it. It was a promise. And Abraham and his wife went, well, we're getting on in years, and maybe God needs a hand here. Maybe he's forgotten. We just need to help him out. And for those that know the story, how can they bless the nations? How could they if they'd never had their own child? How would this take place? I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll help God out, and we'll take the handmaiden, and we'll go and have a baby there. It was the wrong situation. If they trusted God to deliver on his promise, he would have put them in that place of obedience. And I think the Bible's lovely when it's so honest like this, because aren't we just like that? I think God wanted me to do this, but he hasn't quite turned up yet, so let me help him out with all of this other stuff by doing all of these things. And I don't know if that takes you back to maybe the fishing rod, where you suddenly went, do you know what? I've got myself hooked. Something hooked me and I've got caught on it and now I'm ensnared with this thing. God promised and we've got to give him a chance to deliver. How many times, I think the question said on the Life Explored, how many times have you felt let down because your expectations were actually beyond what God promised in the first place? And we thought we should help him out. Now, I was looking at children obeying their parents, a little bit of psychology for you of how kids actually relate to their parents, how they develop over the years. I wonder, does this sound like you or maybe your children at the moment? So have a listen to this. Firstly, they idolize their parents. There's nothing that you can do that's wrong. You're perfect in their eyes. Have you ever been in that situation? And then secondly, oh, I think we're about to head into some of this. They start to demonize the parents. They come to see that you aren't actually as perfect as they thought you were. Actually, you're the source of every problem. You're the very reason why every difficulty is experienced, okay? Maybe it's a strong word up there. Maybe some of you are going, nope, that sums it up right good and proper. But then they move on from that, apparently, and they start to utilize the parents. They figure out that they can use mum and dad to, borrow the car. Any chance of the car keys, Dad? Yeah? Mum, do you mind just doing the washing tonight? Do you just that shirt for me before I go out? Can you just... So we start to utilize our parents by all accounts. And then fourthly, we come and we humanize the parents. There's a recognition that they're not gods and they're not demons. And they're not people just to be used. They recognize that you are human beings just like them. And they make mistakes and can blow it along the way too. I wonder where else you are in that list when you look at your parents or think about your parenting. It's an interesting thought, isn't it? I was reading an article and I'll read you this quote. It says, at some point, you have to come to a place where you forgive your parents for their failures. You have to come to a place where you stop blaming your behavior on mistakes your parents have made in the past. It's a big old challenge for us, isn't it? What a big challenge. It's quite interesting, actually, over the last few weeks, personally and in other situations, you know, you hear people saying, I realized they weren't perfect. I was the one that put them on that pedestal. I was the one that actually caused them to fall. It's interesting, isn't it? Is there some forgiveness that needs to take place this morning? So verse 3. There's a promise to be cashed in on, it says here. If you actually listened to your parents, doesn't matter what you thought about them, they probably had some wisdom. And verse 3 says it very well. If you listen to your mum and dad, if you honour them, if you obey, it will go well with you and you might enjoy long life on the earth. Now, some of that can be very simple, can't it? No, seriously, don't stick your head in the oven. You know, stop playing with the traffic. Doesn't matter what your parents are like, they're going to have some wisdom that could give you long life, okay? I wonder, do you thank God for your parents that tried to do the best thing by you? Do some of you look back and go, oh, they used to drag me along to Sunday school week in, week out? But you know what? Thank God for them that they bothered to get up on a Sunday morning. They bothered to get you to church. They tried to do their best. And maybe you're in that situation as a parent now and you're going, oh, if only. And then you go, do you know what? Not only do I look like my mum or dad now, you know, I feel like I'm saying the same things they are saying. So this is quite key. Verse 4. It's in your Bibles too. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. How many fathers here have had their wives say that to them? Oh, it's just me. Oh, that's embarrassing. Okay. Remember back to last week, men, when we said Paul called us to love and not lead in our marriages? Love and not lead. This week he challenges us as fathers again. He says, writing this letter to the Ephesians, it was a very different culture back then. Let's be clear on that. But actually, it's not too far from where we are today. Now, culturally back then, most families were in a mess. There was not a lot of mutual love among families. And certainly father loving a child would have been hard to imagine in those days. There was a Roman law, patria, potestas, if I pronounced it correctly, for those that know Latin here, the power of the father. It gave the father power over even life or death. A newborn child would be laid at the father's feet, and he'd either pick it up or not. Daughters were either told at the time to be nursed or not. And those unwanted children would be taken down to the forum each night, believe it or not, in the local town forum, and then they'll be sold into various forms of slavery. So when Paul is writing this, fathers, do not exasperate your children, but train them up, he's speaking directly into a culture which was actually quite shocking at the time. This would have been a massive culture shock to tell fathers, these children are precious. But for dads today, and those that are looking after the little ones, we're given this command to raise our children up, train them and nurture them, instruct them by means of words. Now, we live in a culture, don't we, where it's very easy to stick our children in front of the TV, give them a tablet. Actually, I heard one of our little ones yesterday observing somebody in a restaurant and saying, cool, in my day, yeah, she is at 14 years old, in my day, we used to have colouring and whatever. That one's got an iPhone 6, you know? I mean, but it's too easy to put our kids in front of these devices or give them these gadgets. Question for all of us, really, what kids are you expecting to raise? If you don't want them to talk and behave like SpongeBob SquarePants, if you don't want them running around with that Call of Duty kind of attitude, you've got to be really careful what you're putting them in front of. Because if they're getting 10 hours a day of this, that's what they're going to be like. Who likes SpongeBob SquarePants? Oh, I saw a hand go half up and then come straight down again. That's really funny. SpongeBob SquarePants fan. Do you know the song? You know it. You know the song. That's great. Look, they've got a challenge up there as well on the screen. This one I found, and genuinely this was found on the internet. It says, on the school gates, greet your child with a smile, not a mobile. Isn't that dreadful that we're actually having to put these signs up on our school gates now? Because, you know, a kid comes out of school, mobile phone, What happens? That kid says, oh, that's how we behave, do we? They get to 18 years, or not that 18, teenagers. And of course, you want to have a conversation with, how's your day been today? Oh, well, wonder why our kids have got their heads buried into their phone. Where do they learn it from? Genuinely, where do they learn it from? Well, do you know what? It's quite interesting. Over the summer, I was quite challenged that the kids, I've got a lot of free time. And I'd heard of this thing called a screen time app. I haven't got shares in it, so I'm not trying to get you to take this up. This screen time app allows you to limit how much screen time the kids have. Although it was my or Nikki's decision, maybe initially, we set this thing up. You've got an hour a day. That's all you got. An hour a day. You can use that hour whenever you like. You can have 5 minutes now, 5 minutes. You can have an hour. But if you want more time, you can do jobs. So the dishwasher gives you 20 minutes. An easy one, a no-brainer, keep your bedroom tidy, instantly 20 minutes. So get up, make your bed, go down, ask for another 20 minutes. You've got an hour and 20 minutes straight away. What we did is we set our children some boundaries. And you might go, an hour? My kids would kill me if I gave them an hour. They've got an hour. How do you be creative with an hour? Well, actually, you could do six lots of 10 minutes if you're that way inclined. You could say to your brother and sister, do you fancy watching 20 minutes of something on my tablet? And then we watch 20 minutes of something on your tablet. I tell you, they've started working this stuff out. But what they've done, if they've started to recognize, Nikki and I put that boundary in for our children, okay? We've limited, and they've worked out that if they do work, they get rewarded for it. They can have more time. They work out that they can do a little bit of co-op as well. And do you know what? When it runs out, do you know what they say? And it may just be my kids. So I might just be blessed. But they go, oh, well, tablet time's up. I'm going to go and play with the Lego. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to do that. There's none of this argument to me. This is not fair. Have they said not fair to you? No. Genuinely, there's not, it's detached us in a sense. There's the boundaries. There's the rules. So wherever they go, they've got those boundaries in place. I have been instructing them that this is how it works. I think the comments of, wow, this is really cool, I can do more jobs, has kind of worn off now. But there they are. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And actually, I just wondered if we could turn that verse maybe slightly on its head. And actually say, fathers, by not teaching and not training our children in the instruction of the Lord, then they will become exasperated, absolutely guaranteed. You know? And in actual fact, if my kids had 6 hours a day on their tablets, they're going to be grumpy little monsters. And it's going to be not fair, and they're going to be frustrated with this game, and there's going to be this, and there's going to be that, and everything. Suddenly, boundaries have been put in place. And actually helping our kids with that. Now, bring this back to scripture. You know, where are you sitting down with your kids? Are you praying with them? Are you opening up the Bibles with them? Are your children telling you off because they've missed prayer time? One of ours gets ever so upset. We haven't prayed yet. It's been so much in their DNA now that I might go, well, we can do that later or whatever. No, we must pray now. It's in my DNA. It's what I do. What a great place to be. Great place to challenge me as a father. So slaves, verse 5. It says, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Now, I don't know about you, but I have certain phrases which I suppose I've built my life with. There's certain things that have really stuck in my mind and it really shapes everything that I do. I don't know if you've got any catchphrases from your father, your mother, teachers or friends that have shaped you. And they could be really negative. You may have that as a negative voice in your head and go, oh, it always says that, oh, my dad always says, my mum always says, oh, this teacher once said to me. And it shapes us. But there was a phrase that I heard really early on in my Christian walk, and actually it must have been from an American because I had to go to the American Standard Version to find the exact words that were in my head. But if you were to look in Colossians 3:23, and I think I got it on the screen, it says, whatsoever you do, work heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23, that phrase, as unto the Lord, it's quite old English, really. But those words stuck with me. It's like God tattooed them on my mind and on my brain. Do everything as unto the Lord. So when I was frustrated at work, and I've done a number of jobs over the years, I can tell you, I've put the Trivial Pursuit pieces in the Trivial Pursuit thing. I was on red, and I got promoted to purple. Oh, the joy. But honestly, you know, you do this thing, you get the speed up, you go, oh, I've got the hang of this now, and you're there, and you're doing this and this and this, and you look at the clock and you go, that was 1 second? I've been doing that for, I've done 100 of these in a second. Time just slowed down and you kind of go, I'm going to die in this place. But then that attitude is unto the Lord. Do everything as if I'm serving Christ. I remember I worked at the naval gym down in the dockyard down in Portsmouth, Nelson, and the toilets were disgusting. And I've got a thing about toilets. I like clean toilets. We must do some work on our toilets. They're clean, but anyway, I'm not going to go there. These toilets in this gym were horrendous. And I cleaned them. I cleaned them to within an inch of their lives. And these guys were so impressed with how I'd cleaned these toilets. They said, do you do anything else? Well, actually, I've done lots of things over the years, but sign writing was one of the things I did. And sign writing is quite good. I had some vinyl cutter stuff, some banner stuff. And they had loads of boxing tournaments. And they said to me, well, do you want to do our boxing banners? I got promoted from toilet cleaner to doing boxing banners. It got me through a lot of my university studies at the time. The sad fact to that part of that story is the person they brought in to clean the toilets didn't do very well, so they asked me if I could come back and clean the toilets as well. But look, everything as unto the Lord, even cleaning toilets. I could have absolute joy and peace in that. I still had an opportunity to share my faith in those situations. Does your job suck at the moment? I wonder if you're just thinking about work and you're just going, do you know what? Like with the children and the parents model before, if we serve wholeheartedly, we move past serving our employers and we move into that place of serving God, not people, as it says in verse 7. So whatever your job, whatever your thoughts are about your employer, in my head, I've always replaced them with Christ, as if I'm working for him. Serve as though you're working for him. Verse 8 gives us that hope. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And finally, it says in verse 9, masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he is both their master and yours in heaven. And there is no favoritism with him. A chap called Warren Wiersbe, he makes an excellent point, and I'm going to kind of close with this. He says, the Christian faith does not bring about harmony by erasing social or cultural distinctions. Okay, so the Christian faith does not bring about harmony by getting rid of our social and cultural distinctions. Servants are still servants when they trust Christ, and masters are still masters. Okay, rather, the Christian faith brings harmony by working in the heart, that innermost being. Christ gives us a new motivation, not a new organization. Both the servant and master are serving the Lord and seeking to please him. And in this way, they're able to work together to the glory of God, which is what we were talking about last time. Together, we can work to the glory of God. Whatever situation you are in, wherever you are, you can do everything as unto the Lord's. But it's tough, isn't it? There's no two ways about it. It's tough. But as Spirit-filled Christians, with those Spirit-fueled lives, we can have a completely different attitude, submitting to one another, having Christ in the center of everything that we do. Think of that body last week with the marriage, the head and the body, the husband and the wife. Christ at the center, Christ, that absolute heartbeat. We need to let God set that structure up for us with that one purpose, wherever we are, to glorify him. If children obey and honor their parents, if parents have Christ at the center of their marriages, if all of us are submitting to one another in Christ, i.e. he is our identity, that one that we live for, we're going to have a massive impact with the gospel in our homes, in our offices, our workplaces, our families. And that bit, I've written it down again because it really challenged me last time. A submissive person isn't fighting for their rights, demanding equality. A submissive person trusts God to meet all their needs. They don't have anything to prove. Is that you this morning? Is that you as a husband, a wife, as a parent, as a child in that situation? And I'll literally close with these points. If you're still thinking, Darren, what's the point of it all? These were some great quotes. At times, raising children and working for a living can seem hopeless. But remember, at the time when Pharaoh was drowning babies, Moses, the savior of the world, was born. At a time when Jewish children were born into slavery in Babylon, some godly parents raised a young man like Daniel who made a stand for God. When Herod was murdering all the male children, God's own son, the savior of the world, was born. No matter how tough the world gets, we can still raise godly kids with his help. And no matter how mundane work seems to be, we can still do it as unto the Lord to glorify him. As unto the Lord to glorify him.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.